dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas, at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for an intelligence briefing on what I think of as the war for the free world. The people who fight that war the old-fashioned way, the kinetic form of warfare, and have been doing it extraordinarily impressively for, well, over 13 years now in hellholes like Iraq and Afghanistan, and also, in their way, on the home front as well, are the people who generally do not get the credit they deserve. Most of us, I believe, don't even really understand the kinds of sacrifice that they're making, let alone what is involved in the acts of heroism, some very remarkable, some just every day. But I'm very pleased to say someone has gone to the trouble of chronicling some examples of it to share with the rest of us what is involved and to help us both understand and appreciate it as we should. He is Mark Lee Greenblatt. He has just published a new book entitled Valor, Unsung Heroes from Iraq, Afghanistan, and the Home Front. Mark is an attorney in the Washington, D.C. area. He has served his country in the past on a subcommittee that is near and dear to my heart in the United States Senate, the Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations, where he led the Senate's investigations into the notorious Oil for Food program. He has clerked for a federal judge and been a litigator in two large international law firms, and also served as the senior manager in government at the Kennedy School of Government at Harvard University. It is a delight to have him with us, not just for a segment, but for a full hour to talk about heroism, valor, bravery, and the unsung heroes who have exhibited it in these various places. Mark Lee Greenblatt, welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. I'm so glad to have a chance to visit with you and to take some time to talk about this really important subject.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. It's really an honor.
Maybe we should start with what valor is. How do you define it? What kind of, well, clinical analyses have been done into this phenomenon that we associate with the battlefield if we have a sense of what our troops are doing? How do you define it?
Well, I think the one thing that emerged for me in talking with the nine individuals that I wrote about, that I profiled in Valor, but also in the other folks that I talked about, that I interviewed in researching the book, was there's this moment for at least these nine guys where they were in a position of relative safety amidst this maelstrom going on around them, bullets flying or some awful situation unfolding. And they were in relative safety, but then they consciously decided to go out into harm's way, jumping into a sniper's fire to save a buddy or carrying a buddy through insurgent fire to get to a medevac helicopter, something along those lines, where they sought out greater danger in order to accomplish a mission or to save a life. And that, to me, was just a transcendent quality that I really needed to learn more about and tell America that that's what's going on overseas.
Yeah, and you do it very well, by the way. It's a remarkable series of accounts of this kind of bravery under fire. I was struck by some of the research that you had done that is of really a clinical nature, and maybe we could talk about some of the qualities that have characterized these folks, I'm sure to varying degrees, but generally speaking, that seems to have been kind of the common denominator when they chose, as you say, to put themselves in harm's way for others and do so with extraordinary valor. Talk a little bit about this concept of self-regulation.
Yeah, well, the research is showing, and this is done all over the world in a couple of different ways, that they have this calm under fire, and it's not the kind of detached calm that you might think of. It's just the ability to process, the ability to focus and stay on goal when the situation is deteriorating rapidly. And it manifests itself in a number of different ways, but what that comes from, they believe, is training just has such a huge impact. One of the professors, a gentleman by the name of Michael Matthews at West Point, who was extremely helpful to me throughout my research, he described it as something that these guys, when they're so highly trained, they actually can become better in these awful moments, because they actually sharpen their focus. So when their lives are at stake, they actually become more acute, more focused. He said, in comparison, someone without training in those moments would likely end up soiling their pants.
I think you're absolutely right. And one of the things that worries me, I must say, about what we're doing to the military these days in terms of reducing our ability to train our men and women in uniform is that it may translate not only into loss of life, but to a diminished capacity for this kind of focused, disciplined action under fire. I was also struck by this point, which I think is not news to anybody who knows anything about the military, but I'm afraid fewer and fewer of us do. So let's spend a little time on this, Mark Lee Greenblatt. In your book, Valor, Unsung Heroes from Iraq, Afghanistan, and the Home Front, you address the point of how important one's buddies are, the people with whom you serve, the people with whom you've trained, and that selflessness that comes from knowing that you need to save their lives, even if it means putting your own in jeopardy. Talk a little bit about that.
Absolutely. That was by far the number one sentiment that I learned from all of my interviews with the nine guys that I profiled, but also with everyone else. It was this sense of brotherhood, as you said, self-sacrifice, teamwork. It manifests itself in different ways, but that's the general concept, is this giving of themselves for the greater calling. It was absolutely overwhelming. I got to tell you, it was really inspiring. We don't have anything like that in the civilian world, but for them, that is just such a deep-seated cultural issue for them that it's really overwhelming. I mean, these guys, one of them, James Hassel, a Marine grunt, he said that over the course of boot camp, he learned that it wasn't about him and his death. He no longer feared his own death. None of them feared their own death. The one thing they could not get over, they could not bear the thought of, was being responsible for someone else's death. One of their buddies, he said, I couldn't look at their family. I couldn't, possibly go on if I had caused something I had done wrong, had caused someone else to get injured or killed. That was overwhelming to me.
You know, the other piece of this, and we're going to pause here in just a moment, but very quickly, talk a little bit about this other trait, which is so striking and so admirable, and that is the humility that these guys seem to exhibit. They're not boastful. They're not seeking recognition. They're modest in the extreme.
Absolutely. Every single one of them bristled when I said the word hero. They absolutely refused the label. They said they're just in the right place at the right time, that they did what anyone else would have done. They downplayed the risks involved. They minimized their own actions. They all pointed to their colleagues. Every single one of them said, well, someone else did something even cooler than I did. It was really impressive.
Yeah, and you often hear them say this, and I know a number of them that you've profiled, and we'll talk about some of their stories in the blocks ahead. But Mark Lee Greenblatt, you talk about their in varying, it seems, belief that everybody else really deserved the medal. Everybody else was making a supreme sacrifice. They were just doing their job. And, this is part of what I think those that have had the privilege, as I have had, to have a lot of contact with people in uniform see a lot of, even if they're not the bemedaled heroes. It's just one of the qualities that makes these people so extraordinary. And we're going to talk more about some specific examples of valor exhibited by the unsung heroes that Mark Greenblatt has, well, done a remarkable job of portraying in his new book, Valor, Unsung Heroes from Iraq, Afghanistan, and the Home Front. We'll talk about some of these guys, what they did, and who they are today, right after this.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.
An inspector general serves as an independent watchdog in each federal agency, promoting integrity and efficiency while rooting out fraud, waste, and abuse of authority in our government. Several important U.S. agencies have not had an IG for years, including the State Department, which has been without an IG for 5 years. During a constant wave of scandals in Washington, D.C., the newly published IG handbook couldn't be more timely. Every IG takes an oath to support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. By exposing fraud, waste, or abuse through audits, IGs satisfy the constitutional mandate that a regular statement and account of the receipts and expenditures of all public money shall be published from time to time. The new IG handbook explains by what authority and for what purpose an inspector general does what he or she does on behalf of we, the people. Find the Inspector General Handbook by yours truly, Joseph E. Schmitz, on Amazon.com.
Are you looking to hire an IT specialist, or a logistics expert, a medical technician, or a security professional? Well, there are some very qualified candidates out there. America's wounded warriors. These men and women returning from battle are eager to get back to life at home and a good job. Some have wounds you can see, and some have wounds you can't see, like post-traumatic stress disorder. For these accomplished professionals, Wounded Warrior Project has developed the Warriors to Work program, a career counseling service that helps wounded warriors translate their military experience to the civilian workplace. These warriors have world-class job skills and a unique perspective on teamwork. And to ensure proper placement for each individual, Wounded Warrior Project works with employers to find just the right candidate for the job. When your company is looking to hire talented, highly trained employees, contact Wounded Warrior Project at findwwp.org. Welcome home, the brave.
Hi, this is Frank Gaffney. My day job is running the Center for Security Policy, which each weeknight brings you this program. But Secure Freedom Radio is just one of the important contributions the Center makes to the common defense. We call our team the Special Forces in the War of Ideas. Like the real Special Forces, we strive to be agile, creative, and highly effective in identifying threats to our country and how they might best be countered. We can't do all this without you, though. Also, like the real Special Forces, ours need ammunition. And in the War of Ideas, ammo is money. The Center is a nonprofit, tax-exempt organization. Contributions to its work are tax-deductible and an important investment in your security and freedom. Find out more about the Center for Security Policy and how you can help keep its Special Forces team in the fight by visiting securefreedom.org. Many thanks.
Ready to roll?
Go for it.
Hi, I'm Jessie Jane Duff. I'm a retired United States Marine Corps Gunnery Sergeant, and I served 20 years on active duty serving this great country. I'm with Concerned Veterans for America now. After I got off active duty, I realized I still wanted to be involved and help change the direction our country is going. Concerned Veterans for America offered me that great opportunity. If you want to get involved, and you're thinking of getting involved, please visit our website because we have many activities throughout the nation. We have wonderful representatives in each state who are putting forward different ways you can become engaged. So go to the website at concernedveteransforamerica.org, and you do not have to be a veteran. But if you support the freedoms that we all fought so hard for to defend this great nation, then consider participating in the many activities we are participating in and helping to change the direction our country is going.
You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
We're back for a very special edition of Secure Freedom Radio with the author of a brand new book, Valor, unsung heroes from Iraq, Afghanistan, and the home front. He is Mark Lee Greenblatt, a man who has distinguished himself in the legal practice in Washington, among other places. He is a former alumnus of an institution I had the privilege of serving a long time ago, the U.S. Senate Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations, where he led the Senate's investigation of the United Nations Oil for Food program, a scandal of the first order. He has spent time at the Kennedy School of Government. He is now a practicing attorney in the Washington, D.C. area, specializing in criminal and ethics investigations. And we're talking about his book and what he learned about those exhibiting this extraordinary valor. And talk, Mark, if you would, a little bit about how you selected these nine individuals out of the, well, thousands, I'm sure, that were other candidates for this recognition.
Well, you hit on a good point, actually. I should say that, while I profiled these nine, there are thousands of these heroes out there. I had the great fortune of interviewing and writing about nine, but this isn't to say that these are the only guys who are heroes. Now, to get to your question about how I selected them, it really gets back to that concept that we were talking about earlier about how there was this moment in each of these stories where they were in relative safety in these awful situations, be they firefights or horrendous rescues, and they were in relative safety, but they chose to go into greater danger. That moment captivated me, and that was really what attracted me to these nine profiles.
Well, we're going to talk more about some of the specific acts of heroism with Mark Lee Greenblatt. And I think what jumps out at you as you tell their stories, Mark, are some of those qualities we've been discussing and how admirable it is. Why are these guys as unsung as they are? We're talking with Mark Lee Greenblatt about the valor that has been exhibited particularly by nine individuals he has profiled in his new book entitled Valor. Unsung Heroes from Iraq, Afghanistan, and the Home Front. And Mark, talk, if you would, about having looked for that particular sort of leitmotif in these stories, that these guys gave up, in other words, a position of relative safety to do their acts of heroism. Tell us some of their stories. Tell us, for example, I'm looking at Dan Foster as a guy who you've chronicled, and it's an amazing story. Talk a little bit about him, if you would.
Well, Dan was manning the guard tower in a remote outpost in Afghanistan, and it was a real backwater. There was no one there. There was no activity for years, and he was on the overnight shift. It was just about 6 a.m. when he was going to get off the duty and go back and take a nap. And after basically a year of no activity whatsoever, all of a sudden there was an ambush at the gate, a big, huge explosion, dozens of insurgents literally coming over the hillside, attacking their little outpost. And it was Dan, who was up in the guard tower, and his buddy Nick down at the front gate. And they just started firing back at these guys, creating very close-range fire directly at each other. It was this unbelievable moment where he was dodging bullets and shooting back at the same time, holding them off until the rest of his unit could get up and come join the fight and help protect their little forward operating base. As he's doing this, he suffered some injuries, but he kept going. And then finally, one of his mates came from the back to relieve him, to help him out up in the guard tower. And when the guy looked at him, he recoiled because he saw Dan's face. And Dan had suffered some grievous injuries to his face. He had lost 13 teeth. He lost substantial bone structure in his upper and his lower jaws. He really, it was not a good situation for him. And they got him back to the medical area, and the medic patched him up. And he said, listen, buddy, you're going home. These injuries are bad. You're going home. But you know what Dan did? And this is what just captivates me. He's in that medical tent. He's getting bandaged up. Do you know what he does? He grabbed a shotgun and ran out into the firefight. No helmet, no Kevlar vest, no nothing, basically. He was in a T-shirt and camouflage pants and a shotgun. And he went out to keep going and shuttle ammunition to his guys who were up at the front, who had relieved him in the guard tower, and he was shooting at guys on the enemy on the other side of the fence. I mean, all of this after he suffered these unbelievable injuries that were going to send him home, and it just it was stunning to me that he would choose to do that. It was just so inspiring. Not just what he did at the front end, but afterward, when he was in the medical area. It was just incredible stuff.
And he was decorated for this extraordinary act of valor and heroism, right?
That's right. He received a Silver Star. And, of course, Dan, just like what you were saying earlier, insists he's not a hero. He actually downplays the Silver Star. The thing he's proud about is the Purple Heart, frankly. He wears. He does not wear his Silver Star except when he's required to. But he really says the Purple Heart is what I find to be something that he finds pride in.
Yeah. A decoration that, as I recall, goes back to George Washington, who first issued them for people who were wounded in the course of their performance of their duties in uniform. Give us another one of your favorites, Mark Lee Greenblatt.
Sure. Well, there's Steve Stanford, an Army grunt who was in an awful firefight in Mosul, Iraq. There were a number of guys that were injured in the house, and Steve was in the group that started ferrying the injured guys out. And Steve was going in with the group to provide suppressive fire as the others were pulling the guys out one by one. They eventually evacuated 13 individuals, all of whom survived. They were not did not die in that house. That was their goal. The guys will not die in that house. And as they're finishing up the evacuation, one of the men from Steve's squad walks in front of the face of the house, and Steve was standing at the front of the house in the doorway, essentially, as his friend Chris, who had just come back from leave and he had just proposed to his girlfriend less than a week before, and Chris was walking across the face of the house, and boom, a shot rang out, and it hit Chris, and Chris dropped. Steve saw this. He's standing at the front of the house, and he sees his buddy drop just a few meters away. Well, what does he do? Steve ran out into the sniper's fire. There's a sniper pinging away. Steve ran out into that fire, straddled on top of Chris, desperately trying to save his life. He was giving him CPR, trying to hold his neck where the wound was and giving him CPR with his other hand. All the while, the sniper is pinging away, popping at him over and over again. This is essentially point-blank range. I mean, he's right at the house, and he's in the front yard. And I said, Steve, what are you thinking? And he said, I had more important things to worry about than little pieces of metal sticking out of my vest. I mean, just an unbelievable moment. I was so captivated by that. He ended up taking out the sniper, but only after the sniper hit him badly in the leg. And Steve earned a Distinguished Service Cross, which is the second highest medal in the American military. For his actions that day. I mean, it's just a hair's breadth sort of Medal of Honor.
This is the kind of extraordinary service that I think we find ordinary people doing a lot of, and what you've done by chronicling them, and we'll talk a bit more about some others who also have received your attention in your new book, Valor, Unsung Heroes from Iraq, Afghanistan, and the Home Front, with Mark Lee Greenblatt. And we'll also get a sense of what we need to do to make sure these unsung heroes are properly recognized, not just by the military with their decorations, but by all of us for whom they sacrifice so much. That and more, straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.
Hugh Hewitt keeps the Constitution first.
That's what the left is about right now. Not about this or that.
Regulation or restriction.
Not about keeping weapons out of the hands of the mentally disabled. It's about attacking the Constitution. And by the way, you cannot mess with the Second Amendment without messing with the First and the Fourth and the Fifth and the Tenth. You either respect the Constitution or you don't.
The Hugh Hewitt Show. Weeknights at 6 after Michael Medved at 3 on 1260 WRC. New Choice. Intelligent Talk.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute.
It's a matter of time before the consequences of President Obama's misbegotten war against Libya's Muammar Gaddafi impacts his similarly ill-conceived bombing campaign in Syria. In Libya, NATO allowed anti-Gaddafi jihadists to gain access to surface-to-air missiles. They got even more after liberating the fallen dictator's massive stockpiles of such weapons. At least some of these man-portable missiles have surely migrated to Syria. Consequently, chances are one or more of our attack aircraft and their brave pilots will be brought down by one or the other of the jihadist groups we are now bombing. If so, the American people will demand greater clarity about the mission, its objectives, and how we'll know when they have been accomplished. And that could mean yet another defeat at the global jihadists' hands. This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Learn more at securefreedom.org.
I was diagnosed with PTSD. I got out and was sort of on my own.
Since 2003, more than 103,000 service members have been diagnosed with PTSD. Hope for the Warriors focuses not on what happened, but what happens next. Don't let them be forgotten. You can help restore hope to our military families.
My wife and my son are affected by combat too.
Visit hopeforthewarriors.org today.
People know that they can turn to them and trust them.
The Devil We Don't Know by Noni Darwish uncovers the dark side of revolution in the Middle East and the reason why Muslim countries are unable to dig themselves out of a cycle of revolution, political unrest, and tyranny. The constitutions of many Muslim countries state that Sharia law supersedes all other law, and that is why it has failed in providing a legal and political system where healthy democracy can flourish. In this dynamic, only tyrannical governments can survive. In The Devil We Don't Know, human rights activist and Center for Security Policy fellow Noni Darwish answers the tough questions. Why the Arab Spring won't usher in freedom and democracy or a feminist movement. And how Israel will be threatened by the new wave of Islamism after the so-called Arab Spring. The Devil We Don't Know by Noni Darwish. It's available at Amazon.com.
Every day, the men and women of the United States Marine Corps demonstrate their commitment to defend the American way of life. Since 1775, wherever the mission takes us, we always remember the land we call home. As Marines, we take a stand for our nation, for us all. The few, the proud, the Marines.
Hi, this is Frank Effney. You're listening to Intelligent Talk on WRC 1260 in Washington, D.C.
Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back. Mark Lee Greenblatt is our guest. He has just performed a real public service, as far as I'm concerned, with the publication of a new book entitled Valor, Unsung Heroes from Iraq, Afghanistan, and the Home Front. He is an attorney by training, having served in the United States Senate, conducting an investigation in the scandalous United Nations Oil for Food program. He's worked on international law matters as a litigator, also served as the senior manager and government fellow at the Kennedy School of Government at Harvard University. Mark Lee Greenblatt, we are really thrilled to have the chance to spend some time talking about several of these incredible stories that you've recounted in Valor. Talk a little bit about this helicopter pilot, this Army helicopter pilot, and his derring do.
Yeah, his name is Ryan Welch. His story is just unbelievable. He was flying a regular mission over the Triangle of Death in 2004, just a regular patrol mission, and he and his co-pilot Justin received a distress call where there were a couple of pilots who had crashed and were downed in the Triangle of Death. And Ryan and Justin found a field nearby, found where the crash was. They found a field nearby where they could land. And then Ryan rushed across this 100-yard field to get to the crash site. He located the guys, lugged them back against this field. Mind you, this is in the Triangle of Death in 2004. This is not a good place to be, you know, with crashed helicopters around. I mean, who knows where the insurgents are, whether they're lying in wait. But he lugs them back across this field, gets them to the helicopter. But here's the problem. He you know, there are two extra pilots, and they were in an Apache helicopter. And I don't know how familiar you are with an Apache, but
it's not big.
It's like a Lamborghini or Ferrari. I mean, there's not an inch of space. But he has two pilots with him. What's he going to do? So Ryan puts the more injured of them, of the two guys, into his seat in the Apache, and then he straps himself and the other pilot to the outside of the helicopter as Justin takes off and flies them to the hospital. I mean, Ryan and Justin saved those pilots' lives that night. I mean, it's just an inspirational story.
It really is, and most especially, as I say, all of these stories are extraordinary that you've told with great effect and valor. But this one in particular, and I think our audience is probably pretty knowledgeable about what an Apache looks like. It's the one that's very narrow. It's not, you know, a big Huey or you know, one of the larger utility helicopters. It's a narrow attack helicopter. There isn't an inch of space on that. I'm frankly somewhat amazed that it could even take off with all that extra weight on it. But heroism of the first order, indeed. There's another story, and I'd like to cover the services here if we can, involving a Navy rescue diver. Talk a little bit about his exploits.
Sure, that's Kyle Mead, and Kyle is a rescue swimmer, and you know what that means is that he would go out with a group of total of four guys. He and three other guys would be a unit on a helicopter, and they would go out into the open sea, and they would go rescue folks that were you know, either shipwrecked or pilots that had to eject out of the plane for whatever reason. They would go get them in open water, and there was this one awful storm in January 2010. This is when they were first heading out to the Middle East on their first night out from the coast of North Carolina, and they got this call in the middle of this horrific storm that there was a shipwrecked civilian 300 miles away, and they were on the USS Eisenhower, and the Eisenhower turns tail and goes directly toward the shipwrecked civilian, and they eventually take off in this helicopter, getting thrown about in these winds, and the pilot of the helicopter, pilot who had thousands and thousands of hours under his belt. I mean, this is a very seasoned pilot. He told me it was by far the most horrific storm he had ever flown in, and Kyle told me, Kyle Mead, the rescue swimmer, he told me it wasn't just the worst storm he had ever done a mission in. It was the worst storm he had ever been in, and here he is. You know, they're getting thrown around like a kite in a storm. I mean, just getting bopped around. The swells in the ocean were 50 feet high. That's five stories of a building. And by the way, let's not forget, this is in the middle of the night, so it's pitch black. In the middle of all this, they somehow find where the civilian is. I mean, think about how difficult that part is. But they find where this guy is, and Kyle goes into that water, that swirling water, and he finds him, he grabs him, he throws on the strop, which is the device that gets under the arms so that the hoist can pick them up. And then they pick them up and get them back into the helicopter, and then the pilot and the co-pilot navigate back to the USS Eisenhower. They literally saved that man's life that night through extreme situations.
And absolutely, clearly, they did it at the mortal peril to their own lives. And when you think about that's the sort of thing that these guys are doing with some regularity. I mean, obviously, mostly it's in performing their rescue missions for their fellow comrades in arms. But in cases like this, as you say, on the home front, you had a civilian's life saved. When you think about it, again, the contribution that the United States military made just in that one instance, vectoring an entire aircraft carrier, I guess, and its accompanying ships to go try to attend to this one individual's life and manage to pull off this extraordinary rescue is just an amazing story, and very well told, I must say, Mark Lee Greenblatt. I don't know about this law business, but if you ever decide to quit your day job, I think you got a future in writing. check out, please, folks, Valor, Unsung Heroes from Iraq, Afghanistan, and the Home Front. And Mark, I just wanted to sort of segue from these accounts, and I hope people will check out both the book itself and blogging that you're doing to add, you know, even further texture to these stories by bringing other individuals and their acts of valor to public attention. Just spend a minute talking about why it is that most of us don't know much about this. Why are these heroes so unsung? We don't have quite the history, of course, of Vietnam, where, you know, nobody wanted to acknowledge, let alone recognize, sort of the contribution that those in uniform were making. I don't want to say nobody, but unfortunately, all too many Americans didn't at that time. But Iraq and Afghanistan veterans, I think, have fared rather better. But in your study of the matter, why is it that these stories have largely been ones of unsung heroes?
Well, I think, just as a threshold matter, I think Americans, by and large, generally understand on some sort of intellectual level that there are heroes in our midst, that the men and women overseas are doing incredible things in awful circumstances. What I was trying to do was give them a granular knowledge, a granular understanding of what that means. It's not just, wow, that there are heroes. It's, wow, this guy, Steve Sanford, Dan Foster, Ryan Welch, Kyle Meade, the guys we talked about earlier, but also others. This is the kind of thing they're doing. This is what they're tasting in their mouths as these moments are unfolding. This is what they're hearing. This is what they're smelling. This is, you know, what the sweat feels like, you know, coming down their brow as these moments are unfolding. You know, I really wanted to place readers in their shoes as it's happening. Now, as to why, I think it was negative, if you will, for journalists and media during the hot times of the war, if you will, you know, from the 2003 to 2008 time period. It was negative for them to talk about these stories. I think it was viewed as cheerleading, as rooting for the home team, as opposed to a dispassionate, you know, reporting. And so that's why they shied away from that and focused on the negative episodes, the Abu Ghraibs, if you will. Folks could, and I think that's borne out in the average American experience.
Hold the thought, Mark Greenblatt, because we're going to have to take a pause for one last break. When we come back, I want to talk more about what's wrong with rooting for the home team. If you're one of those journalists who perhaps was embedded, why aren't you cheerleading? And what does it say about the rest of us as well? That and more with Mark Lee Greenblatt, the author of Valor, Unsung Heroes from Iraq, Afghanistan, and the Home Front, straight ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
An inspector general serves as an independent watchdog in each federal agency, promoting integrity and efficiency while rooting out fraud, waste, and abuse of authority in our government. Several important U.S. agencies have not had an IG for years, including the State Department, which has been without an IG for 5 years. During a constant wave of scandals in Washington, D.C., the newly published IG handbook by yours truly, Joseph E. Schmitz, couldn't be more timely. Every IG takes an oath to support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. By exposing fraud, waste, or abuse through audits, IGs satisfy the constitutional mandate that a regular statement and account of the receipts and expenditures of all public money shall be published from time to time. The new IG handbook explains by what authority and for what purpose an inspector general does what he or she does on behalf of we, the people. Find the Inspector General Handbook on Amazon.com.
I was diagnosed with PTSD. I got out and was sort of on my own.
Since 2003, more than 103,000 service members have been diagnosed with PTSD. Hope for the Warriors focuses not on what happened, but what happens next. Don't let them be forgotten. You can help restore hope to our military families.
My wife and my son are affected by combat, too.
Visit hopeforthewarriors.org today.
People know that they can turn to them and trust them.
Hi, this is Frank Gaffney. My day job is running the Center for Security Policy, which each weeknight brings you this program. But Secure Freedom Radio is just one of the important contributions the Center makes to the common defense. We call our team the Special Forces in the War of Ideas. Like the real Special Forces, we strive to be agile, creative, and highly effective in identifying threats to our country and how they might best be countered. We can't do all this without you, though. Also, like the real Special Forces, ours need ammunition. And in the War of Ideas, ammo is money. The Center is a nonprofit, tax-exempt organization. Contributions to its work are tax-deductible and an important investment in your security and freedom. Find out more about the Center for Security Policy and how you can help keep its Special Forces team in the fight by visiting securefreedom.org. Many thanks.
I lost my arm.
I lost my legs.
But you can't see what I lost. Over 625,000 vets are suffering from traumatic brain injury
and post-traumatic stress. They're the wounds you can't see.
But with your help, we can expose the invisible wounds of war.
And get these veterans the help they desperately need.
100% of your donation goes toward building treatment centers. Help heal the invisible wounds of war. Donate at makeitvisible.org.
I had no choice the news that was given to me on August 2nd.
Gold Star mom, Debbie Lee.
But I did have a choice how I responded.
In August 2006, Mark Allen Lee became the first Navy SEAL to lose his life in Iraq.
I chose to put on Mark's boots, pick up his weapon, and stay in the fight for our troops and their families.
And America's Mighty Warriors was born.
Mark's name meant Mighty Warrior. And he definitely lived up to his name.
At America'sMightyWarriors.org, you'll find Mark's last letter home.
Read it, and you'll know what AMW's about.
It's about service to active duty members of the military and their families,
including care packages, visits, and more.
It's about supporting the wounded and the people who love them.
It's about the Gold Star family.
Special retreats, concerts, Mother's and Father's Day events to let them know they're loved and not forgotten. Donations are tax deductible and go directly where they're needed.
Read Mark's last letter home.
And just as he inspired his mom, let Mark inspire you to some random acts of kindness of your own.
This is Jenny Thomas. I do video interviews of leaders with the Daily Caller. I had the privilege recently of interviewing Diana West about her extraordinary new book, American Betrayal, The Secret Assault on Our Nation's Character. You can see it at dailycaller.com. American Betrayal reads like a spellbinding historical thriller, but it is also a carefully documented account of how the U.S. government was penetrated by communist agents in the years after President Roosevelt normalized relations with the Soviet Union. Diana West shows how a similar assault is being mounted today by yet another collectivist ideology, the supremacist Islamic doctrine of Sharia. She establishes that while the communists and the Islamists may have very different visions of the world, they have employed the same techniques to defeat America. Please watch my conversation with Diana West about American Betrayal, then check out the other great leaders we profile at dailycaller.com.
Any Soldier Incorporated was started in August 2003 as a simple family effort to help the soldiers in one Army unit, thus the name. However, due to overwhelming requests, on January 1, 2004, the Any Soldier effort was expanded so it would include any member of any of the armed services in harm's way. Won't you please help? Find out how by going to www.anysoldier.com today.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back for the fourth and final segment with Mark Lee Greenblatt. I'm really thrilled that we've been able to talk at some length with him about acts of heroism that have gone, well, not nearly as recognized as they need to be. This is the subject, of course, of his new book, Valor, Unsung Heroes from Iraq, Afghanistan, and the Homefront. And we were talking, Mark, at the end of the last segment about, you know, the lack of recognition to the degree that it's really warranted, not so much by the military. I think it's probably done its bit, but by the rest of us. And I have a theory that I just want to develop with you in this segment about why, for example, journalists wouldn't feel it's entirely appropriate for them to be you know, singing these guys' praises at the risk of promoting the home team, as you put it. And my theory of it is that I think we've come to a place, and this is not to take away from the particular question of judgments made by journalists, but I think as a society, we've really come to a place where we're not as connected to the military as we should be, especially given what they are doing for all of us in heroic ways and innumerable others. Talk a little bit about the relationship, and you've obviously been spending a lot of time with some of these heroes. What's your sense was of, you know, how they felt, interacted with, connected up with the civilians around them?
Well, I think you're exactly right. There is an extreme detachment between sort of the segment of our country that participates in the military, be they the actual guys that, and men and women that are in the service or their families, and the folks that have no connection to the military. And it's a disturbing gap, frankly. And I think you're right. That gets to a lot of issues, and including how they are treated when they come home. I mean, as you were talking about with World War One, World War Two, you know, there would be ticker tape parades when they would come home to their hometowns. We don't have anything like that today. We have, you know, a couple of videos of when the folks come home and they surprise their families, and those are wonderful. Those are great. Those are one-offs. Those are one-offs, you know, that aren't, you know, routine, you know, en masse. And I think that's a huge problem. I mean, I think that spawns other things like the VA. The VA scandal that we're seeing now, where there's a lack of oversight, there's a lack of connection between the bureaucracy and the people. And I think that's born of that detachment that you're talking about.
I want to come back to that in a minute, but something you just said, Mark, prompted me to remember a film that I saw just recently called Fort Bliss. It's a very well done treatment, it seems to me, of that phenomenon of reintegrating these men and women in uniform into our society, the challenges they face, the challenges the folks on the home front face as well. And I commend it to everyone. I think it's a timely and thoughtful treatment of the subject. But one of my pet peeves, Mark, and frankly, it's one of the reasons why we do this program, Secure Freedom Radio, is to try to elevate the sorts of issues that the men and women, as I say, in uniform confront day in and day out, and the kinds of assignments they're given, the kinds of challenges they have to overcome. That's what we're all about. So I've given a lot of thought to this, and part of my fear is that the very fact that we have an all-volunteer force, and I'm not knocking it, I think it's been wildly successful in terms of its combat capability and its success in what it's been assigned to do. We're given the latitude to be successful, at least. But it has disconnected us, many of us, from the kind of relationships that we used to have when, you know, it was our son or father or brother or sister, for that matter, mother, what have you, that was being called up as part of a, you know, draft-based conscription-rooted army or navy. And I just wonder whether in your reading of all of this, in your experience with these guys, that might be at work as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the community rallies in a different way when its citizens are you know, overseas. And when you have huge swaths of the community that don't have folks over there or don't know people that are over there, that leads to a detachment or an apathy, if you will, where they know about them in general terms, but don't have that visceral relationship to them. And that's really what I was trying to bridge. That was the gap I was trying to bridge in the book, is give them those individuals so they know their names, they know their histories, they know their stories, not just what they did in combat, but also what their family lives are like and who they were as three-dimensional people. I mean, that was exactly the gap I was trying to fill. But I think you're exactly right.
And, you know, two other things that I guess have contributed, in my judgment, to this phenomenon, this sense of apartness, this sense that, you know, well, those are the guys who we can send to war without really thinking of them as, you know, fellow Americans. I don't want to call them mercenaries, but I think in many people's minds, that's their job, and they're just supposed to go do it. And we don't want to really be bothered with them terribly much. It's outrageous, really. But two other factors seem to me to be at work here, Mark. And one is that as the footprint, if you will, of the United States military in the nation has contracted, you know, we've had bases that have been deemed to be excess, and they've been converted to other uses by the civilians oftentimes or private sector. We've had the defense industry, which used to be enormous, notably but not exclusively in World War II, but it's contracted to such a point that I think fewer and fewer and fewer of us have, as I say, any kind of connection, not just to the people in uniform, but to the people who work with them and the people who support them and the people who are employed to enable them to do their jobs. And all of those things, I'm afraid, probably are creating a sense of detachment that causes these folks, the heroes like the ones that you've profiled, but also the ones that may not have done anything particularly heroic other than just sacrifice by leaving their families and leaving their lives and putting themselves in harm's way and doing what we were asking them to do for our defense. And I just think they're all unsung, certainly more unsung than they should be. And closing thought on what we as a people need to do to try to make this right.
Well, I think it's when they come back, there are two big things. One is a basic, a framing of our minds. And one of the guys articulated this. His name is Buck Doyle, a Marine gunnery sergeant. And he said he just wanted understanding. And I think that really captured the moment for all of them, was they just want folks to know, to understand what they went through, what their buddies went through. They don't want pity or anything like that, just awareness. But then what I think we can do, which is something more tangible, is these guys need jobs when they come back. That's what helps them assimilate back. It's when they're swirling around, struggling to get their lives back together, that the demons come back and take over. Whereas when they have a sense of mission, one of the guys, James Hassel, who I quoted earlier, the Marine grunt that I quoted earlier, he said, he went back to and got a nursing degree, and it said it gave him a sense of purpose, and he got his life back on track, and he had a family, and that was really what gave him that push to reintegrate after some struggles.
We need to give them all that kind of chance. It's the very least we can do for them. Thanking them for their service is fine, and appreciating the kind of valor they've exhibited, to the extent we can understand it and praise it, is all important too. But especially for the many who have really suffered, sometimes, as you say, the demons of post-traumatic stress disorder, or let alone physical impairment, the very least we can do is to try to help them reconnect with our society, even as we make a redoubled effort to reconnect with them. Mark Lee Greenblatt, thank you for this really remarkable hour and for what you've done to help shed light on these issues and the heroes that deserve to be praised by all of us. I especially commend to all of you Valor, Unsung Heroes from Iraq, Afghanistan, and the Home Front. Check it out. Come back to us again tomorrow for more. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.